Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now live from American Family Field, here's your host, Bob Brainerd.
It was hot, it was sweaty, but it was another victory by the Brewers over the Cincinnati Reds. This is a recording. Man, do they have the Reds number this season. Hi, everybody. Bob Brainerd in for Dom on Brewers Extra Innings on this Tuesday night. Coming to you live from American Family Field, joined by Craig Kishon from Brewers TV. And Craig, I'm trying to think back, like even back to the American League days when the Brewers resided on the other side of the ledger, and having the number of a team like the Brewers have right now with the Cincinnati Reds. I remember teams that had the Brewers number. I remember the Minnesota Twins used to give the Brewers fits, no matter if they played in the Twin Cities or at County Stadium back in the day. But I'll tell you, like right now, Milwaukee's just dialed in against these guys.
Well, I think the, that's a really good point. But I think the Brewers beat up the Reds, even though the Reds were never in the American League. It's that brutal and that's bad. I mean, this is unbelievable. I mean, gosh, the last 69 games, they are 50-19 against the Reds. They've won every game this season. But here's the thing about it. You need to win your division matchups to win the division. And the Brewers have done that the last several years for the most part. And this year is no different. But if you look at both of these teams, just what they have done, tonight's opponents in this division alone, the Brewers are now 14-5 in their division and the Reds are 4-19. I mean, think about that. Cincinnati, their deficit on the season has everything to do, for the most part, about what the Brewers have done. And that's how you win a division. And you just got to keep piling on like that. They've done a great job. They really have. And I think they got off to a little slower start this year with it. But we all know what the Brewers have done since the end of April. I mean, they continue to be the best team in baseball.
I'm glad you pointed that out, Craig. 14-5 versus the NL Central this year. So far, you know, more to come. More of Pittsburgh, more of the Chicago Cubs, more of the St. Louis Cardinals are on the docket. But, when you say that and when you look at it and toss it out there, it seems so simplistic to say that and go, well, of course you have to win the games in your division. But it doesn't always work that way, depending on which division you're in, how tough the division is. If a team does have your number and it happens to be within your division, that can really cause you to make a lot of different adjustments and go make detours along the way, because you're right. First things first, you have to win your division. We have all these wild cards, but your priority to get to the postseason, win the division, you know then that you're in. So what the Brewers have done in the past and so far here with that 14-5 mark, it's crucial that they have been so focused when it's been a divisional foe this year.
Yeah, it exactly. And, there have been times in the past where the Brewers have not done as well, at least not to this degree, against their own division, and then they can, beat up the NL West or, beat up the NL East. Well, that's all well and good, but you just don't play. Think about it. They used to play 19 games against each other in this division, and they whittled right that down now, thankfully. But the bottom line is, all the matchups, potentially that you're talking about right now, if you're playing a team, as often as you are against these four other teams in the division, and you have a pitcher that just for whatever reason does not have success against the Reds in their red and whites or the Cubs in their, their blue and whites, whatever the case may be, it doesn't matter. If you don't have success against the teams you're facing the most, it does change what you do occasionally, and it does force you to make adjustments. And I mean, you have the luxury of doing that, but do you want to do that too? And right now, the Brewers have the luxury of throwing anybody out there, it seems, that they want to at this point. I mean, look at Brandon Sproat tonight. In fact, his last two starts were both against the Cincinnati Reds. And he has pitched a total of 11 1/3 innings against the Reds, and he's only given up 2 earned runs He's only allowed 5 hits. He's only allowed 2 walks, and he struck out 17. This is his last 2 starts, but it's against the same Cincinnati Reds. And guess what? The Brewers won both those games. I mean, needless to say, but this is what happens when you match up against your division, and you're doing it more often than anybody else, so you've got to take advantage. If you're the better team, you don't want to give up these games, that's for sure.
Speaking of Sproat, Craig, I was listening in early to the Reds broadcast just to see what they were saying about this matchup and the matchup against Sproat tonight. And going in, they said the word from Terry Francona was going to be jump on them early, jump on this pitcher early, let's get ahead, which they did tonight, got the first inning run on the home run. But you have to give Sproat credit for not wilting at that moment and not letting it compile. And to your point, Craig, not just the last 2 games against Cincinnati, but he has shown a lot of composure to not be perfect, but he understands, I think, Craig, that he doesn't have to be perfect. He doesn't have to be Miz, okay? He doesn't have to go out there and just dominate the game. He knows he has support, and you saw that tonight. Gives up an early run, settles in nicely after that.
Well, I'll take it a step further. I think that Brandon Sproat still doesn't know who he is at this point because he has that much talent. And the thing about it is the Brewers have that much faith in him, and they've given him these opportunities to fail and learn and then to succeed and take that next step up. And tonight, I mean, he had over 30 pitches in that first inning, and all he surrendered was that Sal Stewart solo home run. You give up the home runs. The old school is just make sure they're not multi-run home runs, and that wasn't. So it really didn't hurt the club. But he's coming off his best start ever against the Reds. And tonight, he may, you know, you can rework the numbers all you want tonight. But after 30-plus pitches in that first inning, for this kid to still pitch into the sixth inning and have a career-high 106 pitches, first time he's been over 100. The fact that Murph sent him out to start the sixth when you're going, he's approaching 100 pitches here, he's for sure done after the fifth inning. I mean, they gave him that next opportunity, and yeah, he gave up another run, but he didn't disappoint either because he's learning something through the process, and they took him out at the right time, and they gave him the leash was a little longer tonight. And sometimes it just has to be for you to succeed. And I think for sure tonight we saw that. So you can have a great start last week, but what are you doing tonight? You're learning a lot more tonight than probably you did last week, to be honest with you.
Yes, trust comes to mind. You know, Sproat trusting himself that he would settle down after giving up the home run in the first. And as you pointed out, Craig, trust from Murph to allow him to go out there and figure it out, and understanding the trust in his starting pitcher tonight to get the job done, which he did. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, boy, is there anybody on more of a heater than Jackson Chourio right now? I don't think so. We'll break it all down next. Well, on days like today, after a day at the lake, the golf course, or right here at the ballpark, American Family Field, come home to comfort with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Keep your AC running at its best with a midsummer checkup. Visit Sider.com to schedule service today and stay cool all summer long. Were you on the lake today, Craig Kushan?
Lake action? No, I was not. No, I was not. I was, honestly, I was under a sprinkler. And, you know, just kind of soaking it in, Bob. Put a little lawn chair out there, you know.
That works.
I'm not a lake guy all the way, but it water works. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, and lots of it today. This is an easy pun, but I'm going to use it. Nobody hotter, speaking of cider and keeping the AC tuned, because you got to try to cool off Jackson Chourio right now. Month of June, Craig, 10 homers. He got number 10 tonight in the month of June, hitting .319 in the month of June with 25 RBI. So you don't have him out of the chute, but, man, once the Brewers got him, they got the best of him.
Yeah, they did. And you know, when he finally got comfortable after, you know, sitting out such a long time, you know, with his injury earlier this year, You know, I've said this for a few weeks now. I just really feel like this guy is taking that next step. You know, every great player reaches a plateau, but as long as they don't step back and fall off of that ledge and keep working their way up, you know, you can climb a lot further up the mountain, and this dude is doing it here right now. And I think the other thing, like specifically from tonight's game with him, he had some mentally frustrating at bats from the first at bat into the second at bat. And it, you know, if you're just watching him from the outside, you're probably thinking he's you know, blaming, you know, bad umpiring behind the plate. But I think he had a lot of things brewing, and I think part of that has to do with what's happened in Venezuela, and the, you know, the death toll just keeps rising. He hit a home run tonight. You know, I'd be surprised if that wasn't on his mind. And you can see what this guy does when he builds up some frustration. And, you know, he was able to do that his last two at bats tonight and finishing with a big home run right there. So this guy's special. There's no question about that. And as much as we can talk and wonder, you know, how to describe the Miz, it's going to be that way for Churio here moving forward.
You bring up a great point, Craig, because the mental part of this game, you know, things that happen to you off the field in your personal life, or in this case, you know, your native country. And we've seen Jackson, and whenever we see him smile on his face and happy-go-lucky and easygoing and doesn't go through big time celebrations, or, you know, he's just enjoying the game, and he emulates that. He exudes that in the way he plays the game. So you're right. I mean, there was something different there, but in that last at bat, maybe he just eased off and he was able to kind of channel, and you can see how dangerous he is when he just channels the ease and the fun that he has playing this baseball game.
Yeah, I mean, he enjoys it like nobody else. And you're right, Bob. He's got one of the most blessed smiles that anybody's ever had in baseball. I mean, a smile like that means I'm here to enjoy it. I know I'm good, but that doesn't matter right now. I'm here to enjoy it. I want to be the best teammate I can. And I mean, this is why they paid him at age 19, because they knew he was going to be special. And you take care of those guys. And the type of person that Churio is right now, both on and off the field, are the people who are getting identified by these clubs like the Brewers to say, this is why we trust you. I mean, we're giving you the money to take the pressure off why you think you need to earn it, because you will earn it. You just keep being who you are. And we're seeing that in him game after game, especially here in the month of June. It's, you know, this is one of the months, Bob, where you don't want the month to end for a guy like this, but it doesn't matter. He's too special. It doesn't matter if tomorrow's July 1st, he's going to keep rolling.
This is why, Craig, and you know this, when they didn't have him out of the gate and he was battling the injuries to get himself right and feel good at the plate, you look back at this month, and again, and I'll rattle it off again: 10 home runs in the month of June, .319 batting average, 25 RBI. You take all that when he's healthy and you get that type of production, it tells you exactly why you can't just go, well, you know, we don't have Jackson for a little bit, it's okay, we'll piecemeal it. No, this guy needs to be in this lineup on an everyday basis because of what he did in June.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's sliding between left field and center field. He's sliding from, you know, the leadoff spot to number two or number three, wherever they need him. It doesn't matter. I think he's done a great job of adjusting, you know, at the plate. If you're going to be the leadoff guy, we saw the other day, first pitch home run against Peterson against the Cubs the other day. He's relentless, and this is the kind of guy that you want in that lineup. I don't think Jackson Churio is at a point in his young career where he needs to be very patient. I think he kind of lets it all hang out. And for somebody who can handle that, like Churio, that certainly is not a bad thing. If this is who he's identifying as being, as you know, in his major league career and what the future holds, it's going to be great for him. I mean, he can handle it. That's kind of the way I'm looking at it right now, with ease.
Yeah, an impressive young man is Jackson Churio. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, we will do buying or selling with Mr. Craig Kishon from Brewers TV. A couple thoughts tossed his way next. Time for buying or selling on Brewers Extra Innings. It's brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates. They're one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Powered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.KW.com. Bob Brainerd in for Dom on a Tuesday night as the Brewers beat the Cincinnati Reds again tonight here at American Family Field. I'm joined by Craig Kishon from Brewers TV. All right, Craig, when it comes to buying or selling, I don't think the Brewers are going to be in the market going forward to sell a whole lot of their pieces that they have, because they have another good thing going, setting all kinds of club records once again through the month of June. Now, the trade deadline, a little over a month away, it's August 3rd, but it doesn't mean you have to wait until August 1, 2, or 3 to make trades. So I'm like you. You see everything that's out there. You see all the, you know, the backseat fans, the armchair fans who are saying, well, the Brewers should trade for this guy and this guy and this guy. When you look at this team and where they are right now, which is in a pretty good place, what do they need, if anything?
I mean, to me, they could definitely use an arm or two. There's no question about that. I think
starter or bullpen.
I think starting with the bullpen. I mean, I don't think they need a starter here right now. But you know what? If there's somebody that you can grab and you can make an adjustment with, look, they've got a few guys that have started for them that are coming out of the bullpen, vice versa. But I think especially their depth with starters here right now, especially with the youth, that they could actually use some of these guys in multi-inning relief. Like, they have crafted in baseball, in Major League Baseball, they have crafted and mastered the use of multi-inning relievers here right now. And they've got some guys that could definitely serve that role. If you went out and you got a really kind of a bona fide starting pitcher, I don't know if that's their first priority, but as they always say, going back to the Doug Melvin days, you can never have enough relief pitchers. You just don't know when one guy is going to go down and how that's going to affect everybody else. Or, God forbid, you'd have two guys go down like within a week. That becomes devastating. So to me, I think that would be a target. I think it's really hard to say you're going to go out there and find a bona fide third baseman that's going to be affordable to you without giving up a lot of prospects to bring in and say, are you going to be a rental and I'm going to give up a lot of prospects to get you, or are you going to be a long-term guy because you're under contract? I don't see it because of finances. So to me, the best way of bringing somebody in here right now that makes Milwaukee Brewer sense would be a relief pitcher.
A relief pitcher. Okay. We've all seen and heard the Tarek Skubal talk, which whenever that comes up, it reminds us of CeCe Sabathia and Zach Greinke when the Brewers, they gave up a lot of pieces because they wanted to have that quality arm. A guy like him, Cray, and we know he would be a rental, but it has been done before here in Milwaukee. If you can put it together, is it worth rolling the dice and putting all the chips in the middle for a guy like Skubal?
Well, I think there's two schools of thought there. If your franchise is thinking, we can win the World Series this year, we have all the ingredients, but we're missing that guy in the rotation, then I think it's worth going after. If you think you can win the World Series this year and he's your missing link, why wouldn't you say go after it? However, the guys that you're referencing, Bob, are from an era where there was zero starting pitching development within the franchise. They needed Correct. Those guys desperately. And now every single team that comes into Milwaukee and you talk to the opposing manager, you talk to opposing players, anybody within the opposing franchise, and I'm not kidding, one of the very first things, the top three things they will say in talking to them is, we're so jealous of your pitching depth right now. It's unbelievable how you have drafted and developed such a pitching staff, top to bottom, from starters to relief pitchers, and how you can pull this off and make this happen year after year after year. So totally different scenarios when looking at it. So to me, if you want to go out and get Tarek Skubal, and you're willing to give up a couple of prospects, you better win the World Series. You better think you're going to win the World Series. You better think you're going to beat the Dodgers to get there and then win the World Series. And that's okay to think that way. Believe me, it would probably be worth it if you were on the cusp of doing that. And I'm not saying they aren't. They have the second best record in baseball, but we're hitting July 1st tomorrow, so, you know, that has been yet to be determined. And I don't know if that's part of the list of things that they have together moving forward here in the last 3 months of the season.
Yeah. If you dare to dream and 100% Craig, if you put your heads together, if you're Matt Arnold and you gather everybody in a room and say, okay, Murph, you know, can we win the World Series with what we have? Yes, but, you know, there's hesitation there. Okay, what do we need? And if the need is that horse, that starting pitcher, like a Skubal, like Sabathia was, somebody like that. But if it is, and if you say, okay, plug him in with what we have, now how do you feel? Yes, we can win the World Series. You line up, okay, let's say they pull this off, Craig, and you line up Skubal, Miz, and Kyle Harrison in a playoff. If Harrison remains in a good place like he is, now you've moved Woodruff down to number four in the rotation, and that's pretty good too. So all of a sudden, your pitching staff has really reinforced itself because you went out and got that horse, and now you start looking at a matchup with the Dodgers and that pitching staff, and you don't fear it anymore if you decide to go out and get a guy like Skubal.
Right. I mean, that's a good point as well. You know, if those four guys, if you add Skubal to the mix, can pitch the way they are all four pitching here right now, you should cruise to the best record in the National League and host that thing and hopefully get into the World Series for sure. But I think the other thing is, you know, pitching is one thing, but can your hitting win in the postseason too? And let's face it, that's been the biggest nemesis of this team in the last few years, is just not being able to score enough runs in key games and key situations. So one little glimmer of hope there is the first 2 months of the season, Bob, they hit 40 home runs the first 2 months, and this month of June closing out with Chirinos home run, they hit 38. So you know, maybe they've got themselves in a little better groove here right now. They're driving the ball better. Offensively, let's face it, this team can only continue to pick it up the way they did in the month of June. And if they're satisfied with their starting pitching right now, great. If they can go out and get an arm to help them in the bullpen, even better. And keep your fingers crossed on this offense. I think it would be harder, and they'd give up more to try to find one more bat that would be that significant to carry them over the hump. But stranger things have happened.
No doubt. Again, the trade deadline is August 3rd, so we've got a little over a month for the Brewers, for anybody in Major League Baseball, to make moves. So we will see if the Brewers, as they monitor this next month going forward, how they feel about this club and how they feel as the trade deadline approaches. What moves will they make, if any, when they get to August 3rd. Craig Kishon from Brewers TV, always my pleasure chatting with you, my friend.
We had a blast. Thanks again, Bob.
You got it. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, we'll hear from Murph all of his thoughts on a productive evening at the Ball Yard. Tonight's Player of the Game is brought to you by the International Autos Group. And just like our MVP, actually it's going to be MVPs, plural, you can drive into summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit IAMilwaukee.com. That's International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Yeah, plural, because Sproat was good. Gives up a home run in the first inning and then settles down and gets the job done on the hill. And Jackson Churio continued his torrid month of June by capping it off with a couple ribs and another home run, his 10th of the year. Afterwards, Murph liked both efforts from both guys.
I have no idea if the meeting had anything to do with it. I just had to express myself, you know. I really don't. But, I mean, we didn't hit the ball very hard, you know, but the kid was masterful at pitching on the edges. If you look at the first strikeouts to Yelly and to Churio and to Terang, like every ball's on the edge. And he's going breaking ball, change up, breaking ball, breaking ball, breaking ball, change up, occasional heater. And when you throw that much off speed and you're hitting everything on the corners, you have to say, well, I got to just give in and go the other way. And the guy's made a commitment to doing that. And we got a ton of hits the other way, albeit not hard. We executed and still could have added more on than we did, but you know, another edge pitch to Terang with two strikes, with bases loaded there, kept us from opening it up. So, but there was a lot of discipline there tonight in their ABs, and our ABs, and they pitched well against us. But we got some breaks, we got some things go the other way for go our way for us with some soft hits. But the intent was good. And Churio is a great example. He had two really tough at-bats, was really frustrated. Then he put up three great at-bats. Base hit with the bases loaded, a walk, and a homer.
Sal really had a nice month. Just what's he kind of helped him?
He's locked in, man. He's locked in. He's made a personal decision. You know, I'm gonna play every pitch. I'm going to be locked in every pitch. I'm not going to worry about what my numbers say. I'm going to play every pitch. And he's adjusted his ball flight where you saw tonight, it was the sprinkler system, right? We talked about it last night. Bang, line drive the other way. Bang, line drive the other way. Third time up, then he hit a fly ball to center, but hitting balls the other way, staying inside. Then he got a ball in, did the same thing, stayed inside it, but hit it true, fair, for a double. And it's just how it goes. You know, it usually starts with being committed to be inside the baseball. So that was great. Bauer, same thing. Two hits the other way. What do you do? Homer. It gets you locked in. It gets you squared up.
You mentioned the approach change after the first inning. Was part of that just being a bit more aggressive, too, in the fourth inning? A lot of first pitch swings, a lot of first pitch hits in that fourth inning.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's about being convicted, you know, and conviction usually leads to aggression. If there's something to hit there that I can hit the other way, I don't have to try to do damage. I mean, we hit how many singles in a row?
Yeah, Churio's been good. Sproat's been good of late. And, yeah, Sal Frelick, you heard Murph talk about it. He's been really good in the month of June after he scuffled to start the season. Sal Frelick now locked in. Another solid game for him tonight. Churio as well. Bowers just keeps on delivering for Milwaukee. They had it all rolling tonight in a 7-2 victory over the Cincinnati Reds. When we come back, if you missed the game highlights, don't worry. We will dial it back and rerun them for you next.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
All right, Cincinnati jumped on the Brewers in the first inning with a home run, but in the bottom of the second inning, Milwaukee countered with Garrett Mitchell at the plate.
Ball and no strikes. Here's the pitch to Mitchell and a soft liner into right. That's going to get down for a base hit for Mitchell. Bauer's around third. They're going to test the arm of Marte. Here's the throw. He's safe. Bauer's got that left hand in there before the tag applied by Trevino, and the Brewers have tied it at one. Terry Francona and the Reds will not challenge. They took a look at it. elected not to challenge. An aggressive sin from Matt Erickson, but it pays off. And just like that, the Brewers have tied it up.
So all even there, and then along comes the fourth inning, and the Brewers open things up. They loaded the bases. Sal Frelick, we told you about his hot month, started it off.
First pitch, blooped into left field. In comes Blade. He won't get that one. One run is in. They'll hold up. Bowers at third. Another first pitch swing. Another opposite field base hit. Sal Frelick is 2-for-2, and the Brewers have a 2-1 lead in the fourth.
And then it was Joey Ortiz's turn. How about the damage he did? Surprised everyone last night with that home run. He did it again today.
Ortiz bounced into a fielder's choice his first time. He bounces one to first. It's over the head of Stewart into right field. One run in. Rounding third, Mitchell. Throw to the plate is late. Another soft one that's put into a perfect spot. A chopper the opposite way and over the first baseman's head. And Joey Ortiz has a two-run single.
Yeah, the Brewers dinking and dunking against Cincy tonight. They weren't done, though, in the fourth inning. Jackson Churio's turn.
Churio struck out twice. First pitch. Line drive, left field, base hit. That was smoked on a couple of hops in front of Blade. One run in. They'll hold up Ortiz. He stops at third. Bases are still loaded. After an RBI single by Churio, the sixth single of the inning.
And four runs tallied in that fourth inning to make it 5-1 Brewers. In the fifth, Jake Bowers extended the lead.
First pitch is a drive to center. Friedel's back at the track wall. Bye-bye, baseball! Bowers is 3-for-3 tonight. He sends one out of here. His 15th home run of the season. And it is 6-1 Milwaukee.
And they didn't need really any insurance or any pad in the eighth inning, but the way Jackson Churio's been playing, why not? He delivers in the eighth.
Garcia's 0-1. Is a fly ball left center field. This is way back and way gone. Jackson Churio, number 12 on the year. 7-2 Milwaukee here in the eighth.
12 home runs for Churio, and again, his month of June has been absolutely insane. 10 home runs now in the month of June, 25 RBI, and he hit .319. Big bomb there that made the final score tonight, 7-2 Milwaukee over the Cincinnati Reds. And another number that bears repeating, Craig and I talked about it, but in case you missed it, Milwaukee is now 14-5 against the NL Central. They are taking care of business in this division. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, we will wrap things up and tell you about Game 3 in this divisional matchup, Cincinnati and Milwaukee tomorrow night.
Enjoy.
Well, tomorrow's July 1st, so a new month. Milwaukee in a good place after the first 3 months. Well, I guess technically they started in March. So March, April, May, and June, it's been a good start to the season for the Milwaukee Brewers. First place by 5.5 over the Chicago Cubs, who won tonight against San Diego. But Milwaukee going to head into July 1st again in a very good place. And their first game of July will be tomorrow night back here at American Family Field. It'll be Shane Drohan going for the Brewers, 3-2, an ERA of 3.12, and 52 strikeouts for Shane so far. He will face Andrew Abbott, who's 5-4, an ERA of 3.90, and 70 Ks for Abbott. Reminder, big cable television will carry the Brewers and Reds tomorrow. ESPN's going to carry the game, so they're going to shift the first pitch time to 7:10 p.m. Milwaukee and Wisconsin time. 7:10, which means the pregame show begins at 6:35 here in the Brewers radio network. So again, adjust your dials accordingly for Game 3 between the Brewers and Reds. And then also remember, it's a four-game series, and the finale will be Thursday afternoon at 1:10 here at American Family Field, and that game will feature Jacob Mizorowski back on the hill for the Brewers. But first things first, Milwaukee will go for 3 in a row here in this homestand against the Cincinnati Reds tomorrow night. Again, first pitch is 7:10. Want to thank Craig Kishon from Brewers TV. Want to thank our producer, Matt Yazel. This is Bob Brainerd in for Dom on a Tuesday night. Again, Milwaukee a winner over the Cincinnati Reds tonight here at American Family Field. 7-2 the final score. You've been listening to Brewers Extra Innings.